Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The place where we have a lot of fun and cackle in the face of all the terrible things that are going on around us, much like Doctor Who. We're broadcasting from New Zealand, which is a nice, beautiful island-chained paradise with prime ministers and corporate takeovers and enormous treaties and what have you to basically ensnare the entire nation in the hangman's noose of globalisation. It is absolutely beautiful, picturesque, and everything in the forest is dead because we're the only country in the world that allows 1080 poison to be used outdoors. Incidentally, and my very special guest is Paul Webster today. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. Glad to be here. Lots happening.
Yeah, I think we do have a very interesting dynamic when you talk about islands, and one island in particular that has been the result of much scumbaggery around the world is England in and of itself. Wouldn't you agree?
As I said before, you're welcome.
Now, it's not to say I don't appreciate it. I mean, after all, I wouldn't have an international listening audience if the British hadn't conquered them all and forced them to speak English. So I appreciate that. Thank you, bro.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. We don't need to sound arrogant, everybody who speaks English, but yeah, the English came up with it. What you gonna do? They also, incidentally, Sir Francis Bacon came up with the legal system. Now that has been shafting everybody through the court system for quite some hundreds of years, I take it. And Paul, you know a little bit about this, don't you?
Yes. Whether it's always been like this, or whether it has evolved, or it's taken a certain slant, I'm not sure. But from my experience of being inside this system for 5 years, where if you're going to talk about day, they're going to talk about night. If you're going to talk about black, they're going to talk about white. It's just a game of diversions. And it really is a role acting thing. And it's based around rules and regulations that don't apply to you. And they don't need to hear you. And when you start digging into this, you start realizing that the system's designed that way. You know, you're not meant to go in there and win. You're meant to go in there and lose. You're meant to go in as two negotiators. But there's no reason for you to actually be there. You know, they shouldn't be able to force this, but they've had this all their own way for so long, then it's turned to just childish behaviour. You know, you basically... I don't know if you've heard any of the Carl Lentz stuff, have you?
No, but I was going to say, it's kind of like Chinese whispers through the generations. Like one generation comes up with a real brilliant scam, but it just keeps getting dumber and dumber and dumber until there's absolutely nothing behind the scam at all. Just a childish game.
No, No, it's blatant. What has happened with me was blatant fraud. Straight up fraud. I've had property stolen by someone and been sold. And when I've addressed that in the court, as I was addressing a foreclosure where a bank was being told that they could foreclose on a property without evidencing the debt, that I put case law in front of that judge and a parliamentary commissioned report in front of that judge that backed that up. Now, that report said, Vinny, 99% of all these bills are sold. Now, these bills are bills of exchange. They're what you create when you go for your mortgage. The bank facilitate your own credit. That's, they don't lend you anything. They facilitate your own credit. But you, in your terms and conditions, they take a power of attorney. That power of attorney is executed in your name. Now, what that really means is, if you, they claim you've borrowed $60,000 off them, you've just given them a document that they can execute to reduce their liability, i.e. because with the derivatives and interest that you could pay on that £60,000 loan, it could be worth, let's say, for argument's sake, $65,000 instead of $60,000. So they give you $60,000, right, even though we know they haven't given it you. So they facilitated. It's a bit like...
It's a middleman.
Yeah, it's a bit like I'd have your bank card with your PIN number and I know your bank, but you don't know anything about that. So you want 200 quid off me, out of your bank, so you have to ask me to get it you. That's basically what we do when we sign these terms and conditions. And I go and get you that £200 and I charge you an administration fee, a facilitation fee for that, and that's what I charge you interest on. I don't charge you interest on your own money. That would be a fraud, wouldn't it?
I've seen gangster movies where actual hitmen will do this to somebody. They'll just take something off you, like a loved one or a piece of furniture or something like that or whatever, and if you want it back, you've got to do such and such and do this for me.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works, isn't it?
It certainly does, and it's like I was just on a podcast earlier on at 8 o'clock, and I got to talking about how all this stuff is starting to come together as nobody is ahead of anybody else. Everybody seems to be attacking this all from so many different angles. You hear so many different arguments for the exact same outcome. And the exact same outcome is that at the end of the day, they've got two arguments when you're in a county court. They're either talking to the public figure or the private figure. If you go down the private argument route, they'll say, well, you can't sue the court, it's a building. You know, it's a building, so that would be the public route, because if you was to try and have a judicial review on a court building, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Mm. To have a review on a building. However, when you challenge the judge's decision and the judicial review, they talk about the private. You can't prosecute them. That's why it's the first class place to be if you want to be in the kind of game that they're in, you know. And I, you know, it's, you follow all the evidence that takes you there, and you're talking to them in plain English. And like I said, they brought this Carl Lentz stuff up into it because he's come out of the blue and he's dealing very direct with common law court. So he's going straight to Queen's Bench and he's got certain terminologies. Like, for instance, which I checked out a few law dictionaries to see what he was doing, and he claims he'd had all these law dictionaries and he checked them all for the definition of the term man. And in corporate law, there is no term for the definition of man other than adult male. So that could be an adult male dog, cat, chicken, wherever you know. So they can't use certain words in common law courts that are corporate because it's man on man. It should never mix. Even though there's an administrative side, if you basically what this guy claims, and he's got many people claiming posts on his site and on his radio show, all these recommendations of him. He told this woman who'd had four kids taken off her. She'd struggled with drink, she'd struggled with drugs, and she was trying to put her life back together, but they were putting conditions on her. to have these kids, which was like drug rehabilitation. Even though she was claiming that, you know, she, in her position, she was doing all right, she didn't need to do this. Now, obviously, if it's common law, if the, that child's in danger, they can still monitor that child, they can still remove that child under common law if it's, you know, no harm, no loss. But what happens is they take that child away. Now, the child means person, and this is what he's touching on. So what he brings it right down to is these four kids are sent all over the province, and they want them back. He says to her, he says, if you don't do as I say, you will never see your kids again. Say what I say, and she wrote it down. And she put this into court, and they shit themselves. They come running out to me and said, who's helped you with this? Who's helped you with this? You've got them running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And what she'd said, basically, now, I've not had the time to study it completely, but from some stuff I'm picking up, it's basically along the lines of, you stand at a Queen's Bench, which is common law court, and you say, I, man, require by right restoration of property. And those children are my property. You can call them children if you like, but they're my property. Because property is anything that is exclusive to you. And as you are co-creator of your children, is that not your property? Under common law, yes, it is. So he's going direct to this route. But we found in the system, Vinny, they hide Queen's Bench from the general public. They always guide you down to an appeal law, and it's always directed through county court. So you're continually always paying. So you're continually in the system. So even though you're giving them a fight, you're still paying for that fight.
It's rich man's justice.
Well, it's greed at the end of the day. That's what's brought this system down. Complete greed. They've spread the trough that big.
Can I say, it's almost as if they found the key to getting away with unlimited fraud, thievery, and scumbaggery is by owning the legal system and controlling the means in which people can actually resist and attempt to address this injustice.
Definitely. You control the money supply. He doesn't care who makes his laws, because the banks are going to pay the law society to write those laws. And who are those laws going to be in favour of? The banks. Can it be blatant? No, they decided they'd keep the knowledge away from the people. So when people using terminologies like, are you the driver of this vehicle? And they don't realise, because they've been sat in front of a steering wheel, and at school you're taught that you're driving if you're in that scenario, so you're the driver. But in commercial law, you're actually consenting to a certain regulation that is going to, could end up with giving you a fine. Mm. And they don't tell you that, and they don't train the police that that's what it is. I mean, Vinny, it's like I said to you last time, that I spoke to the Law Society and was bemused when they said that I'm not legally trained. Wasn't surprised, but I couldn't speak to anybody legally trained. Nobody will speak to me. I've just done 70 days in court with British Gas. I think I told you this last time, didn't I? Well, they applied for another warrant in January. So I went to the court, saw the agent, and I said, are you legally trained? She went, no, I'm not. I went, then I'm going to cross-examine you in this court, because I want to know why you, after 70 days from directions from a district judge, your legal team has not come up with anything, but yet you keep harassing me and threatening me to break into my house. And she went, no, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to cross-examine me, because I'm taking the application out now and withdrawing it. And I was invited into the court, and the legal advisor said, I didn't want you to just leave, Mr. Webster, without you being able to have your say. I went, oh, well, that's very... I said, you know what? You're the first honourable person that I've met in this establishment. And there was eruptions of laughter behind me from the gallery. It's as if people are going there and seeing this stuff happening now. You know, it's not about putting a big fight up. It's about, you get penned into a position, and it's like I said, I don't know many people who will actually I know some people who actually proactively wanted to get involved in this because they've been doing it for a long time, but the majority of people I know are in the same boat as I was, where it was fear that, you know, you find something out, but what can you do? Because you won't get anybody argue with you I mean, I could get people to argue over John F. Kennedy's assassination and 9/11 all day long, but there's some things that the public just accept, which is there's corruption in the judiciary, there's corruption in politics, there's corruption in the police, and there's corruption throughout that system, and there's corruption in the banks. Nobody will disagree with you, they'll all go, yeah, you're right. What time's X Factor on? Or, you know, stuff like that, which I was like, you know, don't get me wrong, I used to come home and watch Emmerdale, EastEnders, all that kind of stuff, which are all soaps that are played over here. And you'd get up and do work and do it all over again. So I do understand that, but when it comes knocking on your door and people are going to take something from you and you have researched and you know they have no right, you know they can't do it, but they're going to do it anyway, or they're going to harass you into mentally breaking down or leaving or attacking them even, giving them any excuses, because it's got to be a dirty game now. You know, it hasn't always been like this, but they're actually, you know, you can see it in America that when I read several articles involving IQs of police officers, that they were only going to accept anything over 85 but under 100 because they were capable of carrying out orders but not critical thinking. And the odd ones that do critically think, they could weed out. Now, people could say that is a conspiracy theory. No, that one of the blogs was written by a guy who, with credentials, who said he'd been turned down. He'd gone to court to get this job with the police force, and they wouldn't give it him, and it was thrown out of court. And it was based on the fact he had an IQ of 120. You know, it's all about lies and diversion, and people will not argue with you on those facts. They know that the system they live in. But it's like, as I was, you're just programmed, you're just constantly looking at the ground and thinking, what are you going to have to eat? What time do you have to be in work tomorrow? And do you have to be in early? You're constantly, I've got to put that washing on, I've got to do, you know, it's all everyday stuff. And then when you get the time, because we're obviously kept purposely busy, because, you know, if we were doing better, we wouldn't be working as hard and as many cuts. You know, I deal with lads who never stood a chance from backgrounds that were socially engineered. I can see that. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are still stuck in, pull yourself up. You know, I did this, I did that. Everybody's got a different experience. But it's very easy to condemn somebody when you've got to be a big man to step out in certain situations. And when you're involved in gangs and stuff like that, and that's your life, that's where you've grown up, that's where you have to live. There's an own set of rules there, and you see a different side. You see a different side to life.
Mm. Well, every different kind of way of life is just another form of life, right? Still life, yeah. Isn't it? And if you're destroying life, you're destroying life. A friend of mine said to me the other night about police officers, don't they realise that every single time they bust anybody for anything, you actually destroy that person's life? And you need to destroy so many people's lives in such a short amount of time in order to get some recognition for your ability to destroy people's lives effectively? And that's how you get your brownie points, kind of thing? Or at least that's how he put it. The reality is somewhat different. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people's encounters with police are not positive, nor lawful in many, many yeah. cases. Not all, of course. But the fact of the matter remains, the police in New Zealand, at least, still see themselves as the country's largest gang. And that's essentially what's going on. Now, I've been involved with real gangsters before, you know, met with them, talk with them during activism things that I was doing and what have you. And they're just like the police, really nice and friendly and what have you, but they can freaking kill you and get away with it.
Yeah. Well, see, where I live, where I come from, it's kind of a sleepy back working men's town. Do you know what I mean? It was all of this town grew up on pits and mills and stuff like that. So you've got honest people here. Do you know what I mean, Vinny? You've got honest people, and locally, you do have honest people who do so happen to be police constables. You have honest people, believe it or not, who are traffic wardens. And you have honest people who are solicitors, but the further you get into the inner cities and the further into the system, into the network, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're not as... they're not as corruptible down at the bottom levels. You know, there's still some honest people there. I've had some positive encounters with coppers. I've encountered maybe one or two pricks.
Have you noticed, like I have, that the ones who tend to be real pricks are the ones with the highest rank?
Well, see, I've never been involved with anybody personally. And from my experience, the coppers who I met, they, when I was talking to them, they hadn't got a clue what I was talking about. But when I explained a bit to them, they understood it, but they're paying a mortgage. You know what I mean? But I'm on about, I know the type of blokes who put a uniform on and then, because I lack something in myself worth, I have to go and be better than somebody and will do something. I told you the story of the fellow with the mobile phone and he tried to get into contract to into a fine. What was the point to that? There was absolutely no point to it. Once he saw it in the drinks holder, he should have just gone, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, sir. I thought I just wanted to warn you that you shouldn't be on your phone. Boom, that would have been it. But no, obviously there was something that he needed either to tick a box, to, you know, get so much revenue in for a bonus. I don't know how they work it. But they employ certain types of people, and you've seen that certain temperament start to creep in. But like I said, it's more when you get to the inner cities. I mean, there's a lot of stuff around over here at the moment about the Metropolitan Police, good and bad, and deaths in custody, that's being talked about a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that one guy got shot in the head, and the police officer, this was 2 years ago, and the police officer has been found not guilty of manslaughter, and you don't understand. It's like...
Well, can I explain? Here's an illustration of your point there. I think 1,348 people in New Zealand have been killed by police in the line of duty since 1968. Guess how many police have ever been prosecuted or fired because of it? Zero.
I was going to say, I'd go for zero.
It's the same system, isn't it?
But you see it throughout. The system now is stretched into management of all kinds. You know, you've got management teams that have come in with an agenda, and basically they're just politicians. You hear the same rhetoric. In the new world and stuff like that, it's the same rhetoric. The stuff doesn't work because the resources aren't there, and the lack of resources are a myth. We're being robbed. That's why. There's not lack of resources. If anything, we're heading towards where we've got a lack of skills. You know, because...
A lack of intelligence.
I'm certainly not a skilled worker. I'm a bit of a jack-of-all-trades. I can do bits and bats. I start skirting boards and don't finish them and things like that. But, you know, I know people who are draftsmen, I know people who are engineers, I know people who can, you know, make a car out of nothing or make an engine out of nothing. We're running short on people who are like that because of the lack of opportunities. And then we just listen to absolute bollocks and rhetoric of people who aren't in a position to help you, even if they wanted to. Because these people get into prominent... You don't get into any prominent positions these days if you're not in with the agenda. As simple as that. You know, and when you've gone through all the research about how these laws have been brought in and how they affect us, and you're indoctrinated into giving certain pieces of information at certain times, and that you call that life because that's what you're taught. Well, that's like voting for Labour. Why? Because my dad did. That's not good enough anymore. It really isn't. I really do wish it was, because I miss just worrying about going out for a pint and watching football. That I miss that. Those were my two main worries. I hope I finish work early enough so I can watch footy tonight. And, you know, if it was like that, that would be That would be a rest.
It would be nice.
Eh?
It would be nice, you know, if life was fun, if you know, you step out your door and you don't suddenly see all this legal scumbaggery all around you and all of this taxation and basically, I don't know what it's like for other people, but for me, everywhere you look, there's something that you hate and you want to change, but you can't change it all at once.
No. Well, when I stopped trying to convince people of this stuff, I found myself in a lot better place. Because, like,
it's depressing because I don't listen.
It is. But I've seen a deep end of the spectrum. Really, I had one of the first meetings I ever tried to hold in my local. A lad came along, and he was a self-employed lad. He bought this house himself. He'd done it all up. It'd taken him 2 years, and it was perfect. And he got with this girl, and you know. Things happen, and she decided she wanted half of his house now. And she was with him for 8 months. So he went to court, he got fleeced with the solicitors, they took everything off him. He got very depressed about it, ended up drinking a lot, and then he got into a relationship that was exactly the same toxicity as the other one. Because when you're in a bad place like that, that's what you're going to attract. And he ended up putting a pipe in his van and, you know, taking himself out. And he argued with me all night, Vinny, that black was white, about that banks must make money because they're a business. They must make money. It's, you know, that's what it's about. It's about making money. And he couldn't grasp the fact, even though he'd been through the system, he couldn't grasp the fact that the system, you know, the system, the tables are tilted. The dice are loaded.
Well, what is money? You know, the business's purpose is to make money. Okay, what's money? Money's nothing. Okay?
Exactly. They make it very well, though.
I know, it's like I'm making nothing. It's like people who play computer games and brag about their high scores when the reality is they actually just spent 17 hours playing that game to accomplish nothing.
Well, that's self-satisfaction, isn't it? But exactly, this is what they do. It is self-satisfaction on behalf of how we do it.
It's kind of like a dog, you know. Here's your reward for this, and with a little clicker and what have you. You train people like a dog to see the money as their reward for obeying their master.
Yeah, but people find it hard to get their head around the possibility, shall we say? Because I would say it's 99% fact, and Domestos can't beat 99% fact. You know, it's
asbestos.
It's the system when it comes to. I've lost track of what I was saying about the money. Then
how money's not worth anything, and as there's no actual real achievement, then it's just energy. Yeah,
that's basically it. But what they've done is, through that birth certificate and the bankruptcy of this country, they signed us on, and I'm presuming that this is what because it's the same system, Vinny, you've been signed on to something through a registration. And that was meant to actually work for you, because you are meant to have an ensure, like Great Britain, we're meant to be under austerity cuts. I've seen several articles referring to the office statistics stating that Great Britain's credit, I don't know what year this was worth $23 trillion. Now, as a registered citizen, my company is entitled to a 67th millionth, out 67-70 million of people in this country, if registered, are meant to have an entitlement of credit. Where else does my credit come from? It comes from the credit account that I'm floated on the stock exchange every day, because this system treats you as a stock. You are stock at value. That is it. Because this system is based on our labour. It's a prepaid account. That's why your gas, water and electric are all free to a domestic property. If it's a commercial agreement, of course you're liable, because corporations pay the infrastructure. They pay the rates for the infrastructure. That's how it's meant to work. But if it's ever been like that, we've lost track of it, and it's been manipulated, and through being taught what, you know, in my terminology would be grammar, and you're taught to use Mr. You know, I remember my mum was very good at English, and she said, you put Mr. because of this, but you put the capital letter P and you do all this, and this is how you write a letter, put the address over here. Well, putting the address over here puts you in the debtor's position. So my mum knew how to write a letter, but it's only what she was told. She didn't understand the meaning of why you'd use Mr., why you'd use the capital letters, why addresses are in certain parts of this letter. Because you just never think of questioning it. And neither would I. Neither would I, but once you start looking into it, you see how devious. If not, I mean, if you can't prove fraud in this, what you can definitely prove is the fact there is some kind of secrecy going on about terminology and language, but what they say is ignorance of the law is no excuse. So the information's there. If you don't know it, tough. That's what they say.
Yeah. Here's the rule book. Boom! And if you don't read every single bit of it, we can screw you in some way. But if you don't read all that old book, you know, it's no excuse.
And, yeah. and the fact is, if you don't go into that rule book, the very blatant fact is they cannot do anything to you. But they do. And they do it through using police. They do it through using private bailiffs. They do it through fines. They do it through making you pay the costs.
Henchmen and goons.
Yeah. It's become so blatant now because it's so far down the line. It's like everything is running out of steam. You see economies collapsing all over the world. I don't do coincidences, Vinny. I have to go and find some information. And, you know, whatever is left after all the investigation, however improbable, even the impossible must be the truth. And the fact is that there's so much going on. I can't research the information fast enough as it's coming in now. Because, you know, I'm getting stuff from all over the world through to me that I'm picking up with. And everything is, they're on to everything. The Ukraine, they broke into the administrative building. They challenged the police in the administrative building. And it was promoted as the police get beaten. You know, that this angry crowd was beating them. Yet I saw evidence of these half a dozen trapped coppers down the side of these stairs. And they were that tired fighting with these people. Somebody just leaned over and took the shield off them dead gentle. But then started dragging them. You know, because it was like, he went gentle because he didn't want to get hurt. So he's like, just pulling at it to see if he'll let it go. So then he could see he was knackered. And he just one quick tug and he was gone. Then they just piled in. And instead of beating them, they were dragging them and directing them out of the building. So the beef is not with the police. And I think the reason, I mean, some idiot American has said that the Americans wouldn't put up with this riot. They would use deadly force on their own citizens. So now you start to see, if that's coming out now, that this fella's saying that, now you see where the 2.5 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition and the 2,000 tanks are going, and the FEMA camps, that is all mainstream news. You know, the fact that you don't know what a FEMA camp is anymore isn't a good enough excuse. Mm-hmm. You can't put it down to ignorance.
I'd love that big billboard. Ignorance of FEMA camps is no excuse.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, man. And the way they're putting it to the people now is, I mean, I've just been watching these people at the Super Bowl and they're just jumping about and shouting, yeah, woo, USA, and all this kind of stuff. And I've seen them, those kind of people, ask questions. Somebody thought that President Kennedy only just passed away 3 days ago. Interview. You know, because he's asking, what do you think about the legacy that he left? And he couldn't answer him because he didn't know. And these are questions that I certainly take for granted. You know, I had a mum and dad who had a lot of interest in news and stuff like that. I had to watch the news when I was a kid. you know, even though I didn't want to, I had to, because they all, that's where they got the information from. And then when you realise just the difference between the information that is accessible now to what information was accessible then, you can see how easy it's been for them. You know, the internet was never designed for us to use. It was designed to take stuff from us, which, in fairness, you can see all the mainstream now, the NSA stuff and the GCHQ. It's rife everywhere. The watching, monitoring, everything. And it's
including the Vinnie Eastwood show. I want to welcome all the agents and surveillors and various other assorted scum to the show. We're just kidding. Sure. I know you're just doing your job and you're trying to protect your country from terrorists and what have you, but bear in mind, the terrorists are actually your employers, not the people your employers tell you to watch. Okay?
The thing is, they want to be these people who think that they are getting themselves on a winning team that's going to achieve something, that these people are as expendable as everybody else.
In fact, that's the first thing that happens whenever there's a huge dictatorship takeover. You have a look at what happened when Hitler took over Germany. Allegedly, he took out his entire cabinet days after the takeover. And because that's the thing, if you help the system get itself into place and you're a participant in the lie and the fraud, it means you contain information that can bring the lie and the fraud down from within and without, so they can't allow you to live. Okay, so if you're working in the current industry right now and you're helping them to bring their current surveillance state into power, you have certain information which can and probably will get you killed. Stop doing it.
Yes.
Start fighting against it rather than for it. Okay? You're not going to save your country or yourself. You're going to die. And most of your countrymen are going to die because of what you're doing. Because of what you're not stopping yourself from doing.
Yep.
That's the reality. It's pretty sad.
It is.
But everybody has to come to this realization in their own time, I think. You know,
exactly.
you keep your head down and you work real hard and you try to do the right thing until you realize at such a point that whatever you're doing has been the wrong thing all along and the right thing's been right in front of you, knocking you in the face your entire life, but you never open the door.
No, shit's going down right now. This is history. People have lived through this through generations. You know, that people actually lived through World War II. People find it hard to envisage that kind of a life now. But it could be on the doorstep. Mm-hmm. And it is that close. And people will start thinking you're being a scaremonger. Especially when, in my town, you open the curtains and there's nothing there. You know, there's not even a man walking a dog. So people don't understand how close it could be to a complete disaster. And for the people who are in the system, who are just paying the bills and doing the orders and that, if they stick with the system, not only will they take everything down, but when it comes to it, we're going to be having Nuremberg-style trials. And you know what they said when they said, well, I was following orders? That's not good enough.
No.
It's just not good enough. So how have we managed to be so stupid to get ourselves in a position like that again when it was blatantly done in World War II? Everybody can see that evidence, how it worked, how they did it.
Well,
setting fire to their own
parliament building,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's happened before over and over and over and over again. I mean, the whole course of history, I think, I forget who said this, but you're never more than two generations between freedom and slavery of your entire peoples.
Definitely. Well, it's like I said, the two generations before me, we had two manufactured world wars, two wars that didn't need to happen. Mm. And they were paid for on both sides by the same parties. Now, how I look at it is, if you bomb the shit out of generations for long enough, they'll accept anything. I always remember my mum getting extra rations of chocolate in 1943 after a particularly bad bomb run. And they were ecstatic. They thought the government was looking after them, this, that, you know. And people get suckered in because they get whipped up into a frenzy with patriotism and all this. And it's just tribalism at the end of the day. It's people who aren't prepared to take a bit of responsibility and look at a bigger picture, because the person who can't take that responsibility. He'll never be as powerful as he is, he, she is.
I was just thinking about that, as you're saying, it is tribalism, but what they've done is they've expanded that that individual communal kind of feeling of tribalism, where you actually have a community that you're looking out for and are part of, and they've blown it out of proportion so that it's a country with all of these millions of people that you belong to and are part of. But the reality is you aren't. You'll never meet most of those people. You'll never have a conversation with them. You'll never do business with them. Your community, on the other hand, they're people who you will see and meet and talk to and do business with on a daily basis, more or less. That's where tribalism should end. Anything beyond that, you're simply getting involved with a tribe that is larger than you, and any tribe that is larger than any of the sum of the entire tribe doesn't actually care about anyone in it.
No. No. It's, for me, it's, you hear all these things that are coming together. At the moment, we're they're talking about unions over here. They're a bit like the old cooperatives, where they were, local communities would provide local amenities, so local farmers would actually grow stuff instead of accepting government payouts to not grow anything, because that, you know, the fact is that we waste too much food as it is. So it's all, this is consumer led, and if the consumers don't wake up and just carry on, it's like a snake eating its own tail at the minute. You know, at some point the snake's going to realise, oh shit, that's it. There's nothing left, I'm dead. You know, there's going to be a realisation, but all I can say is it seems to be so much happening right now. People are getting so awake with this stuff. We are reaching that critical mass. The dam's broken. The judiciary is. It's like going into a dark room. You take one torch in, you can see a little bit, but that torch can always go out and then you're knackered. But the more people with torches in that room, sooner or later, you don't need any more people with torches, because it becomes generally known what is in that room. And the fact is, the torches are all lit, the room's illuminated, the roaches, the cockroaches are just running like mad now, trying to take what they can and get back into the crooks and crannies without facing any kind of recourse. Mm. And you see it from the lower levels. Like I said, the judiciary, politics and the police have got far, far, far bigger problems than me.
You know what I was thinking about? The other day is, when you bust somebody for a crime, there's always certain levels of that crime. You know, like, let's say theft, for example. Somebody snatches a lady's handbag that has $100 in it, okay? Guy gets 6 years. Some guy snatches $100 million of people's investment money by signing a false statement or something like that. The guy gets 6 months, 3 months for good behavior, you know?
That's a golf course.
Well, certainly, there's no proportional punishment to the crime occurring here. And what I was thinking about is, you know, what would happen is, if you busted one person who would steal $100 million, it's as good as busting 10 million people who stole 100. So why not have a very specific function to just let all the little offenders go, but make sure you only really focus on the big offenders, the ones who are actually doing a huge quantity of damage? Because if you're taking out singular individuals who are responsible for large quantities of scumbaggery, then the entire apparatus and the chains of people for which they influence down the line also get disrupted. The problem comes when people try to rise and take their place.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the company can always blame the man, because they can't legislate for a man's own individual decision. So what they do is they'll flip that to common law court. So they won't hear you. They don't hear any legislation, no civil stuff in that. So,
but like you said, Nuremberg trial kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And this flipping of jurisdiction is, they're either going to go down the public route or the private route. In a county court, if they claim that they're in a private, if I said that you, as a public figure, you are answerable as a judge to judicial review, there is nothing in the civil procedure rules that states judicial review is a last resort only. There's no civil procedure rule that says you must appeal, then judicial review. It's either judicial review or appeal. If you appeal, you have to provide the burden of evidence. If you go judicial review, you say, these are the decisions that I believe is wrong. This is what my grounds on why I base that. Now the burden of proof is on them. That's why they don't like you getting to Queen's Bench. It's for them only. That's why they want you to keep going the appeal. You've got to go back to county court. We don't deal with that here. It's not for us. We're not common people. We aren't under common law. We are stock at value. That's how they treat us.
Could you imagine a cow trying to take the farmer to court for trying to kill him?
You can't work it out, can you? How mad it is.
Maybe we've got mad cow disease or something. In fact, I heard a joke the other day. There's these two cows standing in a field, and one cow says to the other, "Man, I'm really worried about that mad cow disease." The other cow says, "I'm not worried. I'm a helicopter."
Oh, man, was a tractor the one I saw. Do you know what, though, Vin? If you didn't laugh at this stuff, you know, if you can't get to a place where you can laugh at this stuff, it would literally drive you crazy. The amount of times...
How many times have you seen people like that, eh? They know the same things we know, but they don't laugh at it, and they become paranoid and crazy, antisocial. It's terrible. So you know, like, in fact, you've just touched on the entire point of this radio show, bro. Really.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we're discussing, what information or anything like that, whether we're discussing UFOs or reptilians or chemtrails or legal fictions or anything. Doesn't matter. The whole point of the show is to laugh while talking about them.
Well, that's the point. You've got to look at this information. There is many a golden nugget found in many a massive conspiracy, actual theory type thing. If people want to, people take the mick and start saying, "Well, have you been looking at any UFOs lately?" Yeah, I've looked at UFOs. I can't find anything definitive for or against, but it's information at the end of the day. It's something, it's a bit more knowledge that I didn't know the day before. And if it's not about putting knowledge in and experiencing something outside your normal comfort zone, because it's a difficult thing to do. Some people don't have the choice. Some people have their comfort zone shattered into pieces. And I see these people and they're broken. I've been there, Vinny. I've been sat on my ass with my face in my hands. With the dog nosing my hands out of the way, saying, "I'm here, Dad." You know, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff goes through your mind. And you start thinking, "Am I losing my mind here?" The amount of times I've had a conversation in the bathroom mirror going, wow, are you really on to this? Yeah. Are you sure about this? You know, and you can only deal with what information's in front of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, I'm going to call it a cat just because it might make me feel a bit uncomfortable. I can't do that to myself. You know, I've never been able to. I'm the type of person, if you have an argument with someone, I want to sort it out there and then. Even if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll sit up, and because I don't want to go to bed with bad blood. It's not in my nature. I like to know that there's nothing like that. I mean, obviously, you have arguments with assholes, you know, but the people that you care about, it's you argue and argue and argue. I can't think I'm wrong, just because it'll make that other person right. I've got to have my argument to put it across.
I kind of treat it like a religion, you know? Like, what was it? Thomas Paine said, "My family is my country and my religion is truth."
Yeah, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think you can go too far wrong with a bit more love and a hell of a lot more truth in this world.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong. And the fact that they're fighting so hard, I mean, in my particular case, they are fighting so hard to keep this out of court now because I've got him on fraud.
Mm.
I've got him on fraud. Blatant and utter fraud. And the fact is, if they put it on record in the court, he's done. He's toasted himself, so he can't go to court. But they're trying to get it through a county court, which will make me now, because I put in a variation order last week. Now, it takes 3 days to process an order, an application. I've still not heard until the solicitor who I'm involved with has sent me another copy of application for another hearing without... another judgment without hearing. So what they want, what I've got to do now is put a variation order, a set-aside order in. So, but they're pushing me into their system to keep paying. That's all it's about. But they know that people are switched on to them.
I love the irony of it, you know. They give you plenty of hearings, but they never listen to you.
They don't have to. That's the point.
You know, the whole point of a hearing is that they don't have to listen to you. Is exactly. that right?
That's how childish this is. Yeah. That is how childish this has got. I mean, like I said, I've seen a grown man reduced to the actions of a five-year-old because I asked him, where do you get your authority from in this setting, in this court? If it isn't with my consent, where do you get it from? And he shuffled some papers in front of me and said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And how can you actually ever sort anything out if you're doing that? Would never sort anything out. And the fact is, they can't talk to you, Vinny, because they don't want to be the ones to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
They have no jurisdiction, they have no authority. They don't want to be the ones who are caught, you know, with the pants down.
Well, it's just that it's almost like they're allergic to something. It's accountability. Yeah, they're allergic to accountability. I think that's about right. So they have this immune system thing. So when you're about to make them be held accountable for something of like that nature, their white blood cell, which is a deny and get the frack out of there right now before you get caught and doing what you're doing response comes up. It happens all the time. I've interviewed a number of people who have gotten judges to get up and walk out of the courtroom just by saying one sentence to them. You know, and I think it's because of the fact that perhaps maybe there is a syndicate working within the system. Like, imagine for a moment that is a hierarchical structure, and there's a lot of these different groups, a lot of these different sectors, but only if a certain person or what have you will catch the eye of somebody else, and it just rings within rings within rings, until one day, one particular person comes and tries to mess with others in the system, and they find out that there's all these different divisions of all these different departments, all acting unlawfully, coming at them, and they're like, how did that happen so quickly, unless these people, at least in parts of these different departments all the way up the chain, were in some form of cahoots?
Well, put it this way, the High Court judicial review was struck out because it had no merit, yet I was questioning the judge's decision about ignoring case law, yet they decided to talk about jurisdiction. So that's what I'm saying. They would talk about everything other than the core subject of the matter, which is basically this was some of this other stuff that's coming in now, Vinny. We've had a guy come on the scene called are you familiar with UK Column?
A little bit, yeah.
Right, this guy called Carl Lentz has just been on the UK Column. He's been over here for about 6 weeks working on some stuff with a few people. Now, he is self-taught common law expert, right? Now, that's what he's claiming. I hardly know the guy. I've listened to his stuff. I've checked out some of his stuff, and it sounds like it could be definitely a part of the puzzle. Now, what he's doing is he's going straight to Queen's Bench. Like he's using the term which is all common law. So in a Queen's Bench, if you're at Queen's Bench in common law, legislation and legalese can't exist. It's man on man. Now, if you use certain terms, but what happened is that there's an administrative side. So you can go at Queen's Bench and use civil law, yeah, but you have to make it perfectly clear that you are not using civil law, and it's certain terminology that he uses. So he used, like I said, it might be a bit pidgin English, this, because I'm in the middle of trying to learn it myself. Well, he used the terminology of something along the lines of, I, man, require by right restoration of my property. Now, by law, that they must give me my property back in that setting. Now, what they've done is they've clouded the waters by causing this fraud and making me dance about. So I've got to almost back-engineer this now. You know, and it's getting it to that place, because I think Queen's Bench is key. We don't know how to invoke Queen's Bench because they're hiding it from us. They will not. They stick their fingers in their ears and will not talk about Queen's Bench. You have to go to county court. You have to appeal it. You have to appeal it. They do not want you at Queen's Bench. Because anybody who knows how this stuff really does work is going to start getting results. And Carl apparently helped this lady, I think it was in New Mexico or some parts of the US, and the four kids had been taken off her, and they were in different parts of the state. And he says, do you want your kids back? She says, of course I do. I've been fighting for 2 years. He says, right, say exactly what I tell you. Do exactly as I tell you to do, or you're not going to see him again. So he concocted this terminology with her, and she put it in at this court as documentation before the hearing, and the barrister came running out and said, who's helped you with this? You have got them shitting themselves in there. Like I said, this is only information I'm getting from listeners off his radio show and him himself. You know, so check him out by all means, but this guy... This woman put that paperwork in, then stood in front of the court and said, I, woman, known as whatever her name was, require by right restoration of property, because in that setting, the term man cannot be defined in civil law. The only definition of man is adult male. Now, that could be adult
We were actually talking about this before, earlier on in the segment, weren't we?
Yeah, this is what happens with me, Vinny. I start getting off and I go off on a tangent and I end up
back in the same thing. Well, I'll tell you what, here's a good idea. We're going to have a break so that we can take a worky leak, have a cup of coffee, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Paul Webster. And I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here